You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. Well, good morning. Whack my mic. It's a production issue. Just when your arms are flailing over the board and your mic's in the way. Anyway, if you listen to enough of our programs in the very beginning, because I always try, if there's a production issue or something that I've done wrong, I like to mention it. Now, what does that do for you, the listener? You make notes of these, and eventually in about 6 years, if you want to go and get a course in radio production,
you can clep that course.
Well, we're having fun. We're going to have fun here, but we're also going to hear a powerful testimony and some great ministry stories from our guests today. But first,
yes,
it is my job to say, first of all, I'm David Francoeur. Always have been, as far as I know, and plan on continuing with that. And I have my two co-hosts with me, the venerable, I like that word, Ed, the venerable Ed Skiba. To me, that means, you know, someone who has...
Why do you keep calling me venerable?
Well, venerable often is someone who's been around long enough to have great experience.
Venerable was derived from a Greek word that means 9 days older than dirt.
That's common wise.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
It was good.
I've got a special request this morning before we even start. Mm-hmm. We have got a missionary in Southeast Asia, and I won't mention the country, and we'll just call him Augustine. And he and his wife are having a very bad time. She's got a horrible infection in her foot that is antibiotic resistant. I just got off the phone with them, and we prayed together. And Satan is really attacking them. He hit his hand, and he's got a terrible swelling in his hand. And he needs that to take care of her because she's wheelchair bound. Well, they're in their 60s having a bad time. So
we'll do that, but we have another prayer request that I want to mention after I introduce Ann Limhoko.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and
amen.
Be glad.
Amen. Happy to be here.
Good morning.
I'm very happy to be here.
Well, and I am happy that everyone's here, too. It's nice to be back. I had sort of what you might call a two-week vacation, interspersed with some visits to the station. But that's the way it goes. But we were out of town for a while. It was a great time to see family, which is wonderful. My wife's family, I love to see them.
Good.
My family, anyway, I love them and I've forgiven them, but that's, you know, I'm still working on the details.
Amen.
Forgiving them for having
you. I love it.
But yeah, before we go introduce our guest, we have two requests. Missionary in our denomination. But also, we need to pray for those who've gone through this horrible storm.
Yes.
Amen. Definitely.
Many deaths. I was talking with Jonathan this morning, and he has a place up in North Carolina, and they got nailed. He doesn't even know how bad because there's no phone service.
Right.
There's no emergency services. You're pulling their hair out trying to get people found. Some people are still being found deceased in their homes. The recovery from that, from the Big Bend, where you know the storm came in as a Category 4, up through, and it's still raining on some folks. But we want to lift them up, and we want to lift up Augustine and his wife, too. Let's start with, Ed, if you would pray for Augustine and his wife.
Well, Father, you know their heart. You know, Lord. He and his wife. They've been over there serving you. They're servants and witnesses in a completely Muslim nation.
Yes.
And their lives are in danger all the time from outside physical attack, but now they're in danger from medical attacks. And we know who's causing all those attacks, and we rebuke that
in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just ask your covering over them. I ask every one of my brothers and sisters that's listening to agree with me in prayer. that nothing but healing, wholeness, and freedom from infirmity will come into that family. Yes. That they'll be blessed and washed and covered with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And they'll be brought into a place of complete healing and strength so they can continue their work. Your work there, Father.
Yes.
And in your precious name, in Jesus' precious name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Lord, we just, our hearts go out to all the people who have been affected by this hurricane that really is just a complete destructive swath through a lot of the southeast United States, and is still not done raining, but there's so much damage, so much flooding, a lot towns, little towns destroyed, Lord God, and you know, we can go on and on, but the people that have suffered from this storm need your grace. They need your Holy Spirit to fall upon them. They need healing. They need peace. Some of them just need assurance that you haven't forgotten them, only because there are a lot of people that now facing the need to pray for you, but really have never known you. There's a season of there's a season in these places. We're not happy this happened, but I know, Lord, you move. We know you move in circumstances like this to remind people that you're there, to reveal yourself for the first time to people who are in great need. And to see your hand at work. And there are a lot of people grieving because people they loved have died in this storm. And we pray for them that their hearts, Father, would be, that their hearts are broken. And we pray that they would be healed. And only in your time and only by your grace, Lord God. But in the whole of this, Father, we just pray that the tragedy of it, which we understand and which many people are still dealing with, that you would move to show your hand at work in the midst of the tragedy. That, well, some would have said, and I know some would have said, what a God-forsaken place this is. That you would show them that, no, you've not forsaken them.
Mm-hmm.
Show them where you're working, Lord God, and bring your church to bear. Bring the people from outside this area, those that you call to be part of the first responding teams that are going to come and bring food and water and clothing, temporary shelter, and be a part of this tremendous ministry that you want to do as we look to you to recover, to bring recovery and restoration to this area that's been so badly devastated.
Amen.
We just, in fact, at this point, Lord, I'm going to stop trying to tell you how to do this, and I'm just going to say thank you, Lord, thank you for moving powerfully to work your perfect will in the lives of these people today and tomorrow and all the days of their lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Well, today we have a good brother, a friend of this station, and you've been on the air with us so many times, Stuart Fakita. Stuart.
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. I think you've been on Wednesday Live several times.
Yes, I have.
And that's our midweek live program, obviously Wednesday Live.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'd have called it Wednesday Dead.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, we wouldn't have called it that.
We're not quite there yet.
We're not quite there yet, no. But it's,
and guess what? We'll never get there with having Jesus.
That's right. Always bring a great word from the Lord and sharing your testimony, which I'm going to ask you to do again. Just to say before you do that, Stuart, you know this program called The Front Line. It's really about you, the listener, and the frontline ministry you have. Some of you are aware of that, and our guests come on, they really encourage you. Some of you are sitting there and saying, what is my ministry, Lord?
Mm.
You've given your life to him, and yet, you know, you're waiting. Well, God's going to move in his time. But,
that's right.
But to give you encouragement that you do, in fact, have a frontline ministry, and God wants you to know what it is. So we're having people come who do know that for their own lives, and to share, encourage, and enable you. So, Stuart, you got so many irons in the fire.
Yes, I do.
And it is the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's
we will
the
say this.
Most important one.
Most important one. But how did God get you? I mean, who were you before you met Jesus, and how did you meet him?
Well, what I was, who I was before I met Jesus was not a very appealing person, not a very good human being, to say the least. I was not a good person. And I had serious drug addiction, criminal If my lips were moving, I was lying. You know, I was good enough to steal your wallet and help you look for it and cry with you. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I rolled. You know what I'm saying? Sure. I was that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and,
how could somebody do that? Well, I was that guy, so I get it. And I'll get to some of the backstory with that here in just a minute, but just to give you the quick glimpse of it was, I had gotten arrested in 2005, and I'm going to rephrase that. I got saved in 2005 because I really did get saved. But when I called out to God after finding my girlfriend dead in my closet, my later body out on the living room floor, and I called out to God like I never had in my life before, not knowing God. I had a little backdrop because my mom put me in Catholic school young, and I had a basic foundation of Jesus, Christmas, but no relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That just, you know, there was some old school people there, and I my mom loved the Lord. She was diehard Catholic. I definitely don't bash anybody that loves Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I got told basically I was going to go to hell the way I was living as a kid. So, you know, there's... why do you even bother? And that's so finally I took that attitude and I didn't bother. And I went out about my way to becoming somewhat of a monster. And but after I got arrested, because I was doing a lot of bad things, obviously, I had eight felonies and three misdemeanors with a scorecard of 47 years. I was here in St. Lucie County, Rock Road. I like to call it the nicest, probably the most foundational church in the community. They clothe you, they feed you, they serve you, they will give you silver bracelets, you know what I mean? It's a gated community. You got all kinds of good things going on there, right?
Nice ankle jewelry.
Anklets, you know. It's all perspective, right? But at the end of the day, I had a fellow inmate who signed me up to go to chapel. And I told him I didn't need to go to chapel because I'm not going to be one of those guys. Hi, my name is Stuart. I'm an alcoholic. He wanted me to go to Celebrate Recovery meeting, and I said, I don't need that. So lo and behold, the way things worked back then, I hear, you know, they got iPads today and this stuff, but we used to have to sign out a request on Sunday for the week's activities to come, whether you wanted to go to an AA meeting, an NA meeting, or, you know, certain things that you could participate in if you want to sign up for it. Well, I didn't know he signed me up for church. So Friday night rolled around, and they come and they call my number, 351 at that time. And I said, man, I'm not on the list. I'm not going to church. The CO said, well, you have it as you will, you know, because he wasn't going to beg me to go. But my buddy's like, come on, man, go stretch your legs. It'll be all right. We'll go for a walk. You know, you're cooped up in this birdcage, you know. So I let him talk me into it, and I wind up going down to the chapel. When I walked in, I first feasted my eyes on a bald guy named Pastor Al Pagosi, who is one of my best of friends today, and I love him. And there was another fella next to him named Bobby Leone. And Al and Bobby were in there greeting everybody as they came in. I can tell Al was a New Yorker, and I love him. And of course, I go sit all the way in the back. Now, I got two black eyes. I weighed 148 pounds because of the StemFast diet. And I didn't want to be close to Jesus, so I got to go sit all the way in the back. You know what I mean?
So that's getting far from Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I got to just get right in the back. And I'm sitting next to four or five guys that I was literally physically fighting with within the 24, 48 hours prior over coffee, 59-cent soup, whatever it might be, carny bun. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody had black eyes in there because everybody's fighting all the time. They used to call it gladiator school. Oh yeah, it was a gladiator tough place school, to be at the time. No doubt about it. And all of a sudden, they start playing praise and worship. I didn't know what praise and worship was. I mean, the last thing I knew about church music was the organs.
Yeah.
That's how far remote I was to Christianity. And I mean, I didn't even know such a thing existed. Well, the very song Open the Eyes to My Heart came on. Never forget it. because when it came on, I actually started listening to the words. Well, as I started listening to the words, I began to cry. Well, let me tell you something. You don't cry in jail. You don't cry when you're standing next to the guys you were fighting with. Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't go showing signs of weakness like that for sure.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I wound up at the front of the altar, giving my heart and soul to Jesus. Right. Pastor Al was praying with me, praying for me. And one of the last things he said to me, because I was crying to him, oh my gosh, I've been through all this stuff, and da 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 da. He goes, you want to get better? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And I kept crying. Like, you know, I had an awesome pity party going. What are you, some kind of moron? Oh, yeah, he called me a moron. I thought you were a pastor. He goes, you got a problem with that? Oh, yeah. So that's how our relationship started. Great man. Love him. He's helped save thousands of lives. And just that's the way it all began for my walk with Christ.
Let's take a quick break, Stuart. When we get back, pick it up there. Where
you live.
Okay.
Christ is my firm foundation.
Through your vote no on 4 on Election Day, you can prevent abortion from becoming the law of the land in Florida. Amendment 4 is not what it seems and way too extreme. Vote no and prevent the reversal of all the preborn life-saving progress of 35 years. Go to TooExtremeForFlorida.com for more information and please vote no on 4.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. We're back at the front line. And our guest today is Stuart Fakita. Stuart, now serving the Lord in many arenas, but he was sharing a story about how he met the Lord at Rock Road in St. Lucie County Jail.
Yes.
And just pick up where you left off, Stuart, if you
will.
Well,
so I met Pastor Al and Bobby, and like I said, Pastor Al, one of the first things I remember, he called me a moron because I was having a pity party for myself. And, you know, we kind of exchanged words there for a minute. Not violently, but firmly, for sure.
Mm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And as I went back to my birdcage, if you will, I had talked to, believe it or not, a psychiatrist in there, more than one at that. The last one I spoke to from New Horizons has said to me that I was never going to be correct again because I had buried my son at 19 years old, February the 9th, 1989.
Wow.
And, 88. Okay. And, you know, finding my girlfriend dead in the closet. I've been shot at 7 times. I just had a multiple of really, really brutal living, and I didn't know it was brutal. I just thought it was life at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I left home at 15. I was dealing drugs because I'll back up. It really all started. My downfall spiral started in 1980 when I lost my best friend. His father was drinking and driving. I got in an accident, which was acceptable back then, believe it or not. It wasn't like it is today.
Okay.
And he was 10 years old. We got killed, and I had this pain in the pit of my gut that was horrible. My mom and dad, of course, you know, everybody tried to help me. They knew I was suffering. And then there was a church bazaar, ironically, Holy Trinity Church, 1982. Yeah, it was 82, where I took my first sips of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
We were cleaning up at one of their, they call it a bazaar, you know, they fundraiser.
Yeah.
And we were cleaning up all the half beers, and my buddy went and got a bunch of ice because I was like, this is disgusting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what I found out was that that awful feeling I had was gone.
Mm.
And there was the fire got lit for a life of chemical dependency and so on and so forth. And I can go into a zillion other details right there, but I want to get back up to the jail. I want to get you where I went off,
sure.
You know, how I got saved, but where I really went off the rails. And you know, and then I had a girl that I was seeing once in a while, and then she got pregnant, had my son Corey, and then he passed away. And the one point I want to make about losing my son and being a full-blown drug addict at the time, because I was doing a lot of bad things for money. I don't want to get all of it today, but bad things, as anybody could imagine. And when my son died, when I got word that he was dead, 6 months old he was. I had a party. I thought it was the greatest thing that ever could have happened. I didn't have to buy diapers. I didn't have to buy formula. Now I can go tell the judge where to go, who just put a, you know, you got to pay your child support. I was an absolute scumbag loser who thought that even at the death of my own blood and flesh was a great thing so that I can continue on my life. And guess what? Now I got an excuse to use. Don't tell me what I'm not feeling. Don't tell me I shouldn't, you know. I just exploited that whole thing. The absolute devil had his way. I mean, there was no question about it. It was a horrible, when I think back to how bad I was, when people act like that today in addiction, when I'm working with people and I hear these things, I don't condone those things, but I actually understand how people can do it.
That's, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I can absolutely identify with how they can be doing what they do. Doesn't make it okay by any stretch, because someday you will pay for that, as I did later on down the road. I mean, I did grieve my son sooner or later, but it was later. And so I was in jail, got put in front of Judge Gary L. Sweet, went into the courthouse. I think it was August of 2005 when I went in there, and I shared my testimony with Judge Sweet, and I had a public defender, public pretender, whatever they want to call him, you know what I'm saying? And I shouldn't say that, because Diamond Liddy's a very good friend of mine, and she actually does work very hard at doing a good job for people. She really does. She works within she actually goes and does above and beyond to getting resources to help people that otherwise can't get help. She is absolutely, in my opinion, top-notch, first-class citizen. I love Diamond. But at the time, I was working with what I had, which wasn't really much of any representation. And so all of a sudden this guy shows up day before I'm going to court, and, oh, I'm your attorney. And I'm like, oh, well, we're going to go tomorrow. So how do you want to plead? Let's change this so you can just get this underway. And I mean, he was just trying to talk me into, let's just make this go away. And I got told by Pastor Al and Bobby and some other people, trust in God, not in man.
Right. Yeah.
Trust in God, not in man. If we did more of that with our lives, we'd probably find things to be a whole lot better. Because the problem is, most people trust in CNN. They trust in whatever garbage comes over the phone, whatever the, I won't say the radio, but I'll say the,
well, some radios aren't
media. But you know what I'm saying? You know, social media, what it is today, any garbage flies out there, everybody instantly believes it because it's on a screen or something crazy. But at the end of the day, I got to tell you, they did a PSI. He goes, you wanted to do a PSI? I said, PSI? It's the only thing I know about PSIs. That's pounds of pressure per square inch. You know what I mean?
Higher pressure.
So the judge says, well, it's a pre-sentence investigation. And he goes, because this is a very, very, very intense story you just told me. And he goes, and if I find out there's one gap in that, you're going to do the whole 47 years. And this is after I told the story. So it wasn't like, he goes, but I am impressed that you didn't bring anything, like you didn't write it down. You just shared it from your heart, because that really means something to me, he said. He goes, so I'll call you after we're done with the investigation and get you back in here. So October the 5th, 2005, I get brought in for sentencing. Meet my public defender there. We meet up in the back room. He comes out. Hey, great deal, man. I got you all set up. We're going to get you down to like 10 years, 12 years. I can't remember what it was, but it was still a pretty healthy sentence, right? And thought to myself, I said, no, man. I said, really, I'm going to trust in God, not in you. And that was an easy thing to say to him at that point. So then he comes back in. I got you, baby. 3.5 years. You almost got a year in now, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
I said, no. And he goes, are you kidding me? He starts yelling at me. Mm-hmm. So he leaves the room. He comes back in. I got you down to 2. You do a year and a day, basically. You know, with the time you got, you go up the road. Sir. 6 months, you'll be out. And it just came out of my mouth, I'm going to trust in God, not in you. And he slammed his briefcase, you moron, Donna. He called me a moron, too. Yeah. Called me all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And actually, the minute I said no, I had this fear come into me, like, what did I just do?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was not confident, like I'm talking to you guys. I mean, I was like, woof.
Yeah.
So here I am, shaking in my shoes, literally, stumbling out to the podium to get my sentence. Mm-hmm. And the judge comes along, and the district attorney says, oh, what a rotten guy. Throw the whole book at him. We tried to make a deal with him. He won't accept nothing, and da-da-da-da-da. And I spoke up and said, well, I'm not denying that I did anything. I just didn't want to make a deal with you guys. You know what I mean? And I said, well, then the judge says, well, wait till I said, well, I don't need this guy talking for me because he's already tried to mess me up. You know what I mean? Mm. So the judge says, okay, calm down, son. He says, so then district attorney finishes. He comes back to me and he says, you want to go home today? And I said, well, Your Honor, that sounds wonderful, but I don't have a home.
Mm.
He
wow.
goes, then where would you go? I said, Pastor Rao's been working with me. He helped me get out the Faith Farm, did a little bit of research because he was just getting open. Plant a Seed Ministry opened up at that time. And he goes, would you like a ride or would you like to go on your own? I said, oh, no, sir, I need a ride. I said, I was just thinking about getting high like the other day. And he goes, really? And I said, Your Honor, I really want to be correct, but I got to tell you, I still got urge. And I'm afraid to let myself go out into the free world and
you're being honest.
But you'll be throwing away the key, you know. And he said, you're right about that. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a good choice. So I go back to jail. They lose my paperwork.
How long were you sentenced, though?
I was sentenced to 5 years of felony probation, undercover brother over the top, come to my house all hours of the day and night.
Okay.
And if I screwed that up, I would have been gone for forever. We wouldn't be talking tonight.
But you didn't have a house.
I didn't have a house. So, not yet anyways.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I lost my paperwork at the jail, and that was a God thing because what got me out of jail was I getting arrested again because I was supposed to contact parole as soon as I got out of there, got to rehab got to the Faith Farm. Yep. So obviously I never got out to call them. Well, they put out an arrest warrant for me, and my parole officer comes to see me at 2:00 in the morning and says, we're going to get you sprung out of here tomorrow. He goes, but I actually called out here. He says, like, 2 weeks after, and they said, oh no, he's not here. And he's like, so then finally came back, he said, he's got to be there. There's no discharge papers, you know what I mean? There's no,
paper trail.
And if you climbed the wall, they would have certainly made noise about it. So he come back, got it all figured out, thank God, because God only knows how long I've been there. And at this point, I'm kind of upset with God. I'm like, man, I'm doing the right thing.
You trusted him.
I'm still in this garbage place, in this pit, crying like
God's
a baby,
working.
Like a baby again. You know, kind of like the Israelites when they got on the other side of the dry ground there, and they were started. First thing they did, start crying. Well, we were better off on the other, you know. And that's kind of what I was. And at the end of the day, he got me going over there. We got going to Faith Farm. When I got there, the short story to that is that they had been over full for 6 months. They didn't have any beds available till a week prior to me coming there.
Wow.
And Pastor Gordon Bippus at the time, the intake counselor, said, I would have had to ask you to leave. I go where? He goes, it don't matter. We take it to a bus stop and it's up to you.
Oh my.
So I just fell to my knees and started crying and thanking God that everything turned out the way it did.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to pick up on that story and move into talking more about Plant a Seed Ministry.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the front line. It's still the front line. And you're at the head of the front line because that's where Jesus is and that's where we are. So amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have Stuart Fikita with us today. Those of you who've been following us since the beginning have begun to hear a great testimony. It's always great because God's in it. He meets us. I was told early on in my spiritual walk as I was just new in Christ, you know, God always meets us at the point of our need.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that then. I certainly believe it now. And that's an being underscored as you share your testimony, Stuart. And so we've gone now to the point where you've gotten out of jail.
Yep.
Having faced 47 years.
Yep.
And then finally being able to get out.
Amen.
Without having to really do any type of probation period.
No, you're right. I did 10 and a half months, but that was, you know, small in retrospect, but that was the time I needed to get close to God.
Amen.
Too.
Right.
And in that journey, in that valley of the shadow of death.
Amen.
Which we often, we read that in the 23rd Psalm, and we say, I don't want to be there, but we often are. That's where we find Jesus.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
And where he often then takes us back with him after we met him.
Amen.
To meet those other people there.
Yes.
And so being in the valley of the shadow of death, and now you're engaging with Plant a Seed Ministry.
Amen.
Tell us about that engagement, and then, you know, share with us the power of God in this ministry, Plant a Seed Ministry.
So I got out of Faith Farm in July 2006, and I was scared to death coming out of there because I want to be sober. I don't want to be a screwball. Mm-hmm. And I remember Pastor Al and Bobby telling me how they would do Monday night celebrate recovery. And they actually, those guys along with Mike Beath had brought celebrate recovery to this area. They mm-hmm. all three went to California.
Oh, really?
They brought it back. Right. They were the original pioneers of it. So I didn't know what else to do besides I got to go find these guys. I got to go find, because I don't know what to do. I know where to go find the dope. I know where to go find the, you know, I know where to find everything that was wrong. I didn't know what to do correctly, really. So I went down to Morningside that Monday night, and I walked up, and there was Bobby and Al eating a hot dog. And they were like, look at this guy. Look at, he's back. You know what I mean?
Just,
So, you know, I stayed there, and Al says, look, you don't have to come all the way here. I did go to Morningside for several years, celebrate recovery goes, but I got Plant a Seed up there on Avenue D. And I said, Avenue D? So at the time, the sanctuary was at D and 20th. Today, it's at Avenue D and 21st Street. But I used to buy dope from the house in the rear parking lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, very interesting scenario, you know? Pastor Al says, you got to meet me up there. I got to tell you, I must have took every back road not to go down that street. Not, I wasn't scared.
Right.
I was scared of myself. I was trying to make sure I didn't see people I was going to buy dope from or try to think about, you know, I didn't trust myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah, sure.
So, so I began going to Plant a Seed on a regular basis with Pastor Al. It wasn't long after that I began doing a Bible study, because the fellow that, I forgot the fellow's name that did it, but he was a great guy. He was an elderly fellow, but we didn't even know. One day we were sitting there waiting for him to show up for Bible study, and so I called Pastor Al. I was the only one that had a phone at that time, and I said, what are we going to do? He goes, well, you're going to teach the class. I go, I'm not teaching the class. I taught the class and subsequently kept teaching the class. And with that, working my way right into ministering, you know, Pastor Al had asked me to, you know, do a few services, so to speak. And, you know, it goes from there and you know, trying to help save people. And what Plant a Seed Ministry has been to a lot of people is a place to live, a place to learn how to rebuild your life, a place to, you know, get yourself right with Jesus, you know.
Amen.
It's not, you know, a lot of people, well, it's a halfway house. It's not a halfway house. You cannot go there, and Pastor Al will not have you there, nor do I. Will I endorse it? If you're there, you got to go to meetings. You got to participate. You got to do the right thing.
Good.
You cannot just go there to hang out. That's not. That's not. You're going to the wrong place if that's what you want.
It's spiritual aftercare.
It's very spiritual aftercare. Yeah. That is correct.
That ministry.
And so, you know, we've done a lot of things leading up. We worked with Miracle on the Water, helped organize that whole thing out there at the Cosmic Cove.
Yeah, I was there.
And, you know, at the end of the day, that went pretty good. I met Buzz out there, which I already knew Buzz because I had some other things, encounters with Buzz. I'll back up to that here in just a little bit. But Buzz had reached out through a friend of mine, Mike Simos, and said, hey, I need Stu's number. We got to get with him. We need a pastor. We need somebody out here because the guy that was here is going to move up. You know, he's moving on. He's going somewhere. So we went out there, and I talked to Buzz. Buzz said, well, I don't want you to get discouraged because summertime, there's only like 7-8 people there. And, you know, he goes, a few more people show up in the winter, probably like 15-20, you know what I mean? I said, hey, listen. So I called Pastor Al. I said, what do you think? We should get somebody over here or what? He goes, yeah, us. I said, ooh. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, okay. Do I need another commitment in my life right now? But you know what? When I prayed about it, it's called obedience.
Amen. Amen.
It ain't about my personal agenda, because my life should have been over anyways, so I got to do what's right unto God today, and that's what that is. That's, at the end of the day, it is what it is. So we took on the responsibility. This July was one full year out there. We started out, like he said, 7-8 people out there. And today, before we got to the first of the year last year, there was 80-90 people out there.
And
that this is church, right, basically, at the causeway?
Okay. Yeah, we do an outdoor service. We got a little deck out there with a little yellow tent-type roof, you know what I mean?
Amen.
Everybody that comes out there seems to love the grassroots thing. You know, we're not you know, you can come in shorts and flip-flops, and we don't really care. We got usually got a couple cases of water in case somebody gets thirsty. It's hot. There's bathrooms out there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, clean bathrooms, too. You know what I mean? Nice. The marina keeps it nice out there.
Yeah.
And it's really, really been just growing, and it's growing online. I mean, we've probably got a couple thousand viewers now. It's really just, I can't believe what God's doing. And that's, you know what I mean? You know, Easter, Pastor Al and I talked. I said, yeah, we probably ought to bring 150 chairs out there. I don't know. I don't know where I got that number. I just said, let's just do it. I said, I feel like there's going to be more than normal because it's Easter. Well, not only did we fill up the 150 chairs, but I lost count at over 250 people because they were just crammed all the way around the parking lot. We did sunrise service out there, and it was absolutely awesome. I mean, God is just so moving. And,
Amen.
You know, I can't say enough good things about how that's all coming together. You know, me and Pastor Al working together on that one. And the support group. I mean, we've got Heather Barber out there singing now. Used to be Heather Williams. You know, I mean, I'm sure y'all know who she is, you know what I'm saying? And she started coming out singing with us a couple weeks ago, and it's been just an outpouring of love out there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So and our praise and worship team came from inside the ministry. Guy knew how to play the piano, another guy plays guitar. These guys are fantastic. I mean, it's the way everything has come together out there. And then we take all the money that we take in, because we do offer for a tithe. And, you know, I had somebody ask question, well, if you guys got this low overhead, why are you passing the basket? I said, so that you can be blessed.
Yeah.
And he said, what do you
want?
I said, listen, if I don't pass the basket, I was told by another pastor many, many years ago that if you don't pass the basket, you're responsible for the blessing. Amen. And I said, you know what? Yeah. I want to leave that in God's hands because I'm not good enough to go blessing people like that.
You're depriving them of the blessing.
So exactly. Yeah. You know, so we have to do that. I mean, that's if you're a pastor and you're a leader of people and you're leading for Christ, you have got to give people the opportunity to be blessed.
Mm-hmm. There, before, I don't want to interrupt you.
I love
you,
the
but,
way he said that.
But there may be some listeners right now, and they know you're situated there in Fort Pierce, and they're talking about this service. And maybe they're between churches, or maybe they just met the Lord and they don't have a church. And they're being intrigued by this ministry you're talking about. So tell people how that they can find this church on Sunday.
They can come out to the Causeway Cove Marina, which is going over the South Bridge in Fort Pierce, get in the right turn lane. There's a turn lane that goes right into the marina. Arrow shows you right where to go. When you make the right, just go straight into the end of the water, look to the left, and you'll see the yellow roof, and you'll see us gathering there. We're right next to where the boat rental is and the jet ski rental, and they're very nice people there, too. So, you know, I'm not here to promote them, but I'm here to promote them.
Yeah, why not?
They've been very inviting with us out there. I was, you know, sharing the space and whatnot. They're really awesome people out there. And
what time is service?
We start service at 9 a.m. sharp, and we finish at 10 a.m. sharp. We do not run a 3-4 hour service. We try to be respectful of people's times.
That's excellent.
That way, if you got stuff planned on a Sunday to do things, you know, if you know you're in between churches, like you said, I'm not here to steal sheep from anybody.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
If somebody says, hey, we're going to go to the beach, and you know, we're instead of skipping out of church today, we'll just stop in there and get some Jesus for an hour and move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, because we do not have a big family outreach of any type, so I absolutely sent a lot of people to different churches in the communities and just tell them, come on back and visit us.
That's the way church should
We want to grow our community churches too. I mean, we're not out there to compete with anybody. Right. That is not our mission.
Yes.
And the people that we began to appeal to, of course, was a lot of drug addict people. You know what I mean? Because I knew a lot of them to begin with because of teaching recovery in the jail and various other locations in the community. So they wound up coming there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But through doing that, we're able to support the Van Duzer Foundation, Scott Van Duzer, Big Apple Pizza there in Fort Pierce, and the Police Athletic League and Mustard Seed Ministry. And there's a couple, three or four unfortunate folks that we know that had the dealing with cancer and ran into some financial woes that we were able to personally help them out. You know, being that it's really Al and I and his wife, Lori writes the checks. She's the check writer. She does a good job, you know what I'm saying, with that. And so at the end of the day, it's been a way worthy ministry and connecting with other people and doing things, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, to think that we've been doing this where I was 20 years ago, you know, because it was really just about 20 years ago when it all began.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I jumped a little ahead in my testimony. I do want to go back to something. Before you
do, Stuart, some people may want to call in. We still have time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And ask Stuart a question or make a comment. 772-221-1100. That's the radio station's number. 772-221-1100. And if you're driving and you have both hands on the wheel, if you can tell, if your phone is plugged into your Bluetooth on your car, you can say, call WCNO 89.9 FM in Palm City, Florida. Okay, Stuart, go.
And if you're driving, you don't have both hands on the wheel. Put them there.
Put them there, right.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, and if you want to learn a little bit more, we do have a website, PASMMinistries.com, PlantAseedMinistries.com. So, you know, we got a donate button there, too.
I was going to ask you about that.
I'm not begging anybody for money by no stretch because we support the community. I'm making mention of it. There's some people that do help us, want to help us, and we just turn around and shepherd that money to the place it's supposed to go. You know what I'm saying? Because we do happen to know where there's a lot of deep needs because of what we do in the community. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But where I wanted to go quickly before all this was, you know, I get my life together. Everything is great. And God blesses me with a beautiful, wonderful wife, Marcy, and I love her dearly. I love you, baby. And he blesses me with my son, Zachary. I couldn't ask for a better son.
Mm. Wow.
My daughter, Sierra, my daughter, Santia. I mean, this is just a wonderful family. You know what I mean? God really, life is good. You know, I'm working, making money, building business, family, and things are great. And working in ministry here and there, and then come along February the 6th, 2018, when FHP knocked on my door to tell me my daughter Santia was dead.
Yeah. Mm. What happened?
And he went on to tell me that a 99-year-old man driving the wrong way on Okeechobee Road, on a divided highway no less, not one single light on, every light on that bus was broke. He turned in the wrong oncoming traffic and got up to speed, unfortunately, and there's a slight bend in the road there where my daughter and her best friend Brittany, where they went to meet Jesus.
Wow.
And my life really, 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 you know, you question a lot of things at that point in your life when you're dealing with that. And you know, I have seen some things the night of that accident that just, I don't even want to bring it up on the air because I don't want to get nobody sick and understanding, but it just, as you can imagine. But I can tell you that night I had a decision to make, and that was either go do what I did when my son passed away, or this time I'm going to stand up for God.
Amen.
This time I'm going to take Ephesians 6, that full armor of God, because I got the devil banging on my head and in my spirit and on the roll out the red carpet to say you're allowed to go out and party again, you can go do whatever you want. No. And my best of friends, again, Pastor Rail, people were checking on me 24/7 to make sure that I wasn't going out. And you know, I mean, the support team I had was just incredible. You know, God put angels around me everywhere I went. And at her funeral at Calvary, which we did Brittany and her funeral together, I wasn't going to speak. And Pastor Will looked at me, and God kept putting, it's time on me. It's time. Mm. That's all I kept getting is it's time.
Wow.
And I didn't know what that meant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in the front row with my family and everybody in tears and so on. You know, my older daughter, Sierra, my superstar, she's just beautiful and she's just awesome. She really is. Sitting next to her, she was up there, just said a few words about her sister, and Pastor Will was doing his thing from Calvary Port St. Lucie. Love those people over at Calvary Port St. Lucie. They're just wonderful family. That's a place I send people to. One of them. And at the end of the day, Pastor Will said, I think it's time. When he said that, I almost fell out of my chair. And
Holy
so
Spirit.
I grabbed the microphone, I went up, and I preached on Romans 8:30-35. Nothing can separate us from God's love.
Amen.
I mean, no matter what you're going through. And Holy Spirit got a hold of me right then and there, and I looked around at the crowd. I understand there was some 1,200 people there. And I asked everybody in that church, are you sure you know where you're going?
Amen.
So I know where my daughter is, and I know where Brittany is, because Brittany got saved six weeks before Christmas Eve. Praise God. God. Never knew the significance of that until it was significant. So don't waste time if you're contemplating or you know somebody that needs this. Call me, call somebody, call the station, get yourself right with Jesus, because you don't know the day, the hour that that's going to happen.
Amen.
And when I gave my daughter a hug and a kiss on that day, and I saw about 4:30, I saw my truck going up the road, and she was driving it, blowing the horn, waving at me, because my business was right next door at the time, and that was the last time I seen her.
Yeah. And you'll see her again, Stuart.
I know.
You'll see her again,
And
well, look how the Lord used that opportunity for you to preach.
Some 350 kids came to the Lord. Pastor Chris Fogle was there praying. Pastor Al was praying. Chaplain Dave was there praying.
Wow.
You know, the neatest thing to me was that, if you know Calvary and Port St. Lucie, you got the couple big rows there. There was a pastor sitting at the end of every aisle as if pre-planned.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Only God. Wow. Only God. And I don't need many dogs. I got a lot of pastor friends, obviously.
Yeah.
They were positioned perfectly for the take. Everybody can see where I'm standing up there on the altar, and I'm looking, I'm like, and the guy playing the music, I mean, he knew something was up, so he started playing music. It was just completely unplanned, but planned perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
And God did what God does best, and people got saved, and it was just amazingly awesome. It was the highest and lowest point of my life. Wow. All in one shot, if you'll ever have such a thing as that. Yep. Holy Spirit baptism. I mean, it was just crazy what happened.
Amen.
And from there, I think the level of ministry that God has brought to me has been elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't back down from anything. We'll go in the deepest, darkest corners of wherever we got to go to help save people. We're obviously close with Plant a Seed Ministry, Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, The Way, Mark Men for Christ, Via de Cristo. So I keep myself quite busy. I just kind of, like I said to y'all, I just came off of Via de Cristo weekend. Going Thursday night, come out last night.
What is that? What is the Via de Cristo?
Way of Christ?
Yeah, it's called The Way of Christ.
Yeah.
So what you do is you don't go in, you get rid of your phone.
No, that's
going to hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah.
You get rid of your phone, you get rid of your watch, you don't turn the TV on,
right.
And you go in and you devote your time there to Jesus.
Amen.
And you got shepherds in there that will help with people, and me being one of them that was helping bring people along. Most Holy Spirit impacting thing I've ever done in my life. If you talk about a jolt to accelerate your relationship, I got a friend who unfortunately experienced what I experienced, same as your club, lost his son. I brought him along on the weekend, and I got to tell you, God really did a work on him.
Amen.
I brought three people, actually, but they all got absolutely moved, but... Yeah. My friend Jared, he really got moved. He really got touched.
Yeah.
I mean, I seen my friend JD got touched, and Nick. I mean, these guys really got moved. But to know what Jared was feeling, and I know how hard that is, and what that drag is, and I don't wish anybody else ever have to want to feel that as well.
Never.
It's devastating. But at the end of the day. It's just, again, about serving. It's just about doing what we can do for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? There's a women's Via de Cristo coming up October 17th, as I heard from my friend Ed this morning, that it's almost full. So that's fantastic. You know what I mean? It's not all the way. So if somebody wants to make a women's Via de Cristo, go to goldcoastviadecristo.com.
Is there a website or something?
Yeah, goldcoastviadecristo.com.
Gold Coast.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This one will be the next, the women's one will be in... North Palm Beach at Faith Lutheran Church.
Okay, beautiful. I'd like to interject for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Because I know we're running short on time now. You know, in my experience, I've been a police chaplain, police fire EMS for over 30 years.
Amen.
And I've been a chaplain in death row and all that. But what I have found out is that guys like you and me that have had these experiences,
yes, sir,
that have been out in the trenches, we can penetrate walls that other people that have got good hearts and are good Christians, but they go in, and I hate to use this word, but guys, naively, and don't understand where some of the folks that we can reach are coming from.
No, absolutely.
You're reaching a demographic that nobody else can reach, because the word says what Satan means for evil, God will turn to good.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're allowing him to do that.
Amen. 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 No doubt about it. And you know, there's a place for everybody in ministry. Mm-hmm. There's no question in my mind, if God's got that on your heart. You know, a lot of people, they go to the jail first because they think it's... That's an easy thing to do to get started.
Yeah.
Don't
captive
don't
audience.
Do what, captive audience. Don't do what you think is right. Pray about your situation. Pray about it before you do anything. I mean, when I started in the jail, Pastor Rail's the one that taught me how to do jail ministry. He brought me in on a Friday night, and he said, "Here, let me introduce you." He walked up to the podium and he said, "This is Pastor Stu. You all know me. I'm Pastor Al." I went up, he calls me up, and I said, He walks down and I says, well, what do you think I should talk about? You know, because we don't have a plan. He goes, don't worry about the plan. The Holy Spirit's got you.
Amen.
Oh, by the way, I got something to do. I'll see you later. And he left me in there for 3 hours all by myself. I didn't mind being by myself with the inmates. It was like, wow, I really got to lean on God now. Amen. But you know what?
I love it.
That's the best kind of training there is. When God's training you up on something, absolutely. I mean, Pastor Al, he knew what he was doing. He he knew when he walked in there, he was only spending 10 minutes in there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I didn't know. Sure. He knew. But he was like, okay, you're all set. Bye-bye now. And that's the way it went. And I went in there on Friday nights for a number of years by myself. And then did get some, eventually got some good, great people. I was in there with Bobby Leone for a number of years and Paul Street. And just I've had Wade. Just had some great brothers I've worked with in the jail there over the years. You know what I mean? Yep. So, you know, there's just some great things that God's doing everywhere. And the key is, if you're listening and you've been a felon and you've been locked up and you've had problems, don't keep hiding behind the problems. Get bold for Christ, because there's other men, there's other women. If it's a woman, it's not just the men's thing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. If you've been through something, use that for a stepping stone to show who Christ is. Amen. In your life.
Amen.
Stand up tall for that. Don't sit absolutely. By the wayside saying, poor me, woe is me. Because when you say that, then you're the moron that Pastor Al called me back 20 years ago, okay? And I hate saying it like that on the radio, but that's where you're at, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there contact information for Plant a Seed Ministry?
PASMministries.com.
All right.
That's probably the best way to get a hold of us.
PASMministries.com. Yeah. Okay.
Our time is running out, and we have maybe 4 minutes. So what I'd like to ask you, Stuart, we always ask folks to pray for as their heart leads them, as the Lord leads them. And,
amen.
And really, I'm hearing there are people in jail right now.
Yes.
In state prison right now.
Yes.
Listening to this radio station.
Amen.
They may be saved. They may not.
Amen.
But in either case, that's because God loves everybody. So, and you know, the truth is, you know, if you don't think God loves you, then all you got to do is ask Him, because that's amen. The first thing He's going to tell you.
He'll amen. Shower you in comfort.
And if you don't ask Him, then why are you afraid? But I really like to. I know that jittered some people, but I really, Stuart, would you just pray for the folks,
I just
the constituency?
I want to comment quick on one thing you just said, though. Yeah. You know, I did call on God,
yeah,
and He took me right to jail.
Amen. Yes.
It was the greatest thing that could have. Yep. I was not disciplined enough to do it on my own. He knew what I needed to get to where I'm at today.
All the in the early days, before I went to seminary, I did a prison ministry, and I worked as a volunteer chaplain's aide in Avon Park Correctional. The Florida Department of Prisons, but everyone that I met and ministered to, their story begins with, "I'm so thankful God sent me to jail."
Amen.
Because that's where I met. Amen. That's where I met Jesus.
That's where he grabs a hold of all.
You know,
that's
right. And so you're there right now. Look on the upside. You want a better life.
Yes.
You can't do it with a life of crime. You can't do it with drugs and alcohol.
No.
Only God can give you the life you really want.
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day, this time. And Father, I ask you, Lord, because there are no walls, there are no boundaries, there is no barbed wire in heaven, Lord, that you'll reach out and touch the hearts of each and every one of those men and women, Lord, that are listening here today. Yes. Or maybe somebody, Lord, that's listening and needs to touch the hearts of somebody else today, to lay your hand on their shoulder and just pray, Lord, salvation into their hearts, and pray that they'll accept Jesus today on their own. Father, I just thank you for the work you do in our lives, the work you do in the walls of those prisons and the jails alike in state and the country, Lord. Father, I just ask you that they continue to look to you, Lord, that when they get out of there, they don't drop the Bible out of the back of their pocket, Lord, that they come and they look to you and they seek how they can serve you, Lord, how they can better do for you. Father, we know that the plans that you have for us, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, are for greatness and not for disparity and garbage and prison. Father, you've made prison for a place place of transformation, Lord.
Amen.
It's a transformation. It's a short stay, Lord. It's not forever. Mm. And Father, we're just thanking you right now in advance for what you're going to do in the lives of all those
yes.
people.
Yes.
And I lift up, Lord, all the men and women that go in to speak to these people, Lord.
Yes.
The ones that give of their time, thank they give of Father. Their life, because it's not just the hour or two that they're there, but the hour or two to travel there too.
Mm.
Father, I just ask you to just guide them, protect them,
yes.
and allow these doors to continually to be
yes,
open
Lord.
In the jails and the prisons to be able to preach your word, to bring your word. Father, we know that just what happens when people accept you and the recension
yes.
rate, Lord, just we thank you for how low that goes because they get your word, your
amen.
Love.
Amen.
Father, I just
amen.
Ask you to just pour your love, the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit upon
amen.
All,
amen.
Every single leader, every single decision maker to allow that to come into their lives. And Father, if there's somebody on the streets today that needs your love, allow them to come find us. Allow them to know
absolutely.
Where we're at today, Lord.
Yes.
Allow them to know where we're at on Sunday morning, and we will get them where they got to go.